Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Saturday mornings from 8 for CMI Toyota, South Australia's number one Toyota dealer and the home of the one-hour express service.
Triple M.
Ah, yes, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Saturday edition of Dead Set Legends on, once again, a beautiful Saturday morning. Plenty of things happening in the wonderful world of sport. We're with you right through until 10 o'clock this morning, as close as the phone, as I welcome my sparring partner this morning, the one and only, yes, the unique, the controversial. I was going to say the dashing debonair, but that would be going over the top. Andrew Newton Jumper. Good morning, Jars.
Good morning, KG. Good morning, South Australia. Great to be here on a Saturday morning.
Absolutely. Jars, I've got to tell you.
What did you do last night?
Well, I had one of the best nights in my life for a long, long time. I'm now living with my beautiful daughter, Sally.
Yes, yes.
And Sally and my
your
granddaughters were invited to a barbecue for a swim, the weather being so hot.
Okay.
So at about 6:30, I thought, gee, what will I do? Mm-hmm. And I thought, hello, Kenny boy. Mm-hmm. We've got the Western Bulldogs taking on the Crows at Witten Oval. So in the morning, I'd put a little bottle of Sauvignon Blanc in the fridge. Mm-hmm. So I've gone to the cupboard. Mm-hmm. I've got the old Jatch crackers out. I love the Jatch biscuits.
Yep. Bit of hummus?
No hummus. I've got the Jatch biscuits out.
Yep.
Took out my little mini Camembert cheese. I love Camembert cheese.
A little bit of caviar?
Yes. Sliced it up.
Lovely.
Got the celery, which I love celery.
Celery. Ooh.
Celery, a little bit of salt.
Nice. Yeah.
Got myself a carrot. Cut the carrot up.
Yeah.
Put them on a plate. Went into the lounge room with my Sauvignon Blanc.
With your aircon on.
Under my arm.
Yeah.
Had the cushion there, aircon on. Sat down at about 5 to 7, just in time as I saw the Western Bulldogs and the Crows run out.
Nice.
And you know what?
What, George?
For the next 2 hours, I had an absolute rip of a night.
And you polished the bottle off?
I knocked the bottle off.
George.
You know when you take it out of the fridge, you just see the ice running down the side?
Oh, no.
It was just at the right temperature.
I heard your tongue got stuck on the bottle because you were trying to lick it.
I've got to say to you, the first glass didn't touch the sides as it went down.
Oh.
It was like swallowing liquid gold.
Fantastic.
And I was there by myself. Best night, and I watched the girls, and I kept saying to myself,
and you're licking your own fingers?
Camembert got stuck
after
a couple of
Jack's crackers?
Yeah, love it. And I was saying to myself throughout the game.
Yeah, what were you saying, George?
This might be the first game since the inception of the women's comp that one of the ladies goes bang and throws a haymaker.
Oh.
It was tough. It was hard. But I loved it.
Well done, George. That's a good evening, and the girls did us very proud. So we're going to catch up with Chelsea Randall from the Adelaide Crows. Jake Lehman will chat to us before he goes out there to bat today against the Vicks.
Good him to do
that. He's 25, not out.
Well, we need him today because we don't get the
points. We're 5 for 80 at the minute.
And we're in 184, so we're in trouble.
And you.
What have I done?
Not only are Adelaide United in crisis,
but you. What?
You, Kenneth George Cunningham,
that's me,
are in big trouble with yours truly and the family, the Triple M family.
What have I done?
You are in big trouble.
Here we go.
Big trouble, George.
I can't wait.
Seven Triple M.
Yes, we'll be there right through until 10 o'clock. We'll talk to young Jake Lehman about the Shield game at the Adelaide Oval. South Australia playing the Vicks. Gee whiz, it's in the balance, that game for sure. But I made the point earlier at the top of the program that I had a wonderful night last night watching the girls play the Western Bulldogs, the Crows and whatever. And until I read an article in the letters to the editor this morning's paper.
What's happened,
George? And I'm angry.
Right, what's happened?
I'll read it. It goes like this, Andrew Newton. This ridiculous, over-the-top publicity for a group of half-baked Aussie female footballers.
Ooh.
I'll repeat that.
Oh, yeah.
This ridiculous, over-the-top publicity for a group of half-baked Aussie female footballers.
Right.
The Opals, the Hockeroos, the Diamonds and the Matildas must wonder what they have done wrong never to have received this coverage. Fair income. Come on. Loosen up. The name of the person is there.
Mm.
In fact, he's a personal friend of mine. Mm. Was.
Mm.
Maybe
not anymore.
Not anymore. That's an unfair.
Is he being sexist?
Well, it's an unfair.
Is that a sexist?
This ridiculous, over-the-top publicity for a group of half-baked Aussie female footballers. That's totally
unfair. No, that's disrespectful.
That's totally unnecessary. Look. I want to hear hear from the Triple M family this morning. What's your take on that particular comment in letters to the editor this morning in the Advertiser?
Well, the Opals and the Hockeroos and the Diamonds and the Matildas, they haven't done anything wrong.
They've
got their fair share of publicity.
Well, they have, but in fairness, the publicity for the first AFL women's side in the comp has been absolutely enormous. Mm. Front page, back page, inside back page, centre fold. Yep. It's been enormous. But to suggest that they're over the top publicity for a group of half baked Aussie female footballers, when you got the girls out there having a red hot dinkum crack, I think is totally out of order.
There'll be some people out there that'll agree with that. That comment.
Let us to the editor.
Yeah, that would agree.
All right. Well, do you agree or do you disagree? Give us a call. 133353. That's
geez, that's got you fired up.
Well, it is. Like you watch them. You saw them.
I watched them last night.
Having a red hot crack. Yeah. They're proud to be playing for South Australia, mm-hmm. and they're having a great time. And to call them a half-baked group of half-baked Aussie female footballers, I think.
How much funding do the Opals and all these Australian national teams get? The Hockey Roos, the Diamonds, and the Matildas. How much funding do they get from the federal government?
Well, I'm not sure how much funding, but
they get their fair share.
They do, but on the other side of the ledger, if you've got one of the biggest sporting organisations in this country supporting you, as the AFL are, it's a pretty strong start for you. But give us a thought, folks. 133353. Is that over the top? That comment, is it sexist? Give us your thoughts. 133353.
Well, do you agree with it?
No, I don't agree with it one bit. Well, do you?
No, not at all. Not at all.
You've been very quiet.
No. Oh, you're leading the charge.
No, well, I don't agree with
it. Got my bayonet in the back.
Yes, they do. Jars and KG. Our topic right from the top of the program is a letter to the editor of the Advertiser from Rick Truer, former state cricketer who I coached. And he's been quoted here as saying, this ridiculous over-the-top publicity for a group of half-baked Aussie female footballers. The Opals, Hockey Roos, Diamonds, Matildas must wonder what they have done wrong never to have received this coverage. Your thoughts on whether that those comments are in fact sexist or over-the-top? And in fact, if there's any Hockey Roos or Opal players out there, how do you feel?
Who agree with his article?
How do you feel about the amount of publicity that's being received by the Adelaide women's footy team?
Well, it's certainly got you fired up, George. Let's go to Sam of Marion. G'day, Sam. Thanks for holding on.
Not a problem, mate. How are you?
Good, thanks, Sam.
What are your thoughts, Sam?
Look, I watched the game last night and I've watched all the other female games as well, and I think they're brilliant. I mean, you've got to remember when GWS and the Gold Coast Suns came into the competition. Do you remember watching them?
Their first few games, how many
goals they kicked?
Yep.
You know, they've been playing that sport since, you know, they were kids. We want to get as many people playing sport, and I think that's just an ignorant sort of article that guy's wrote.
Sam, is the publicity over the top?
No, it's not.
And half-baked Aussie female footballers?
Not at all. When I was playing for SAP Stars and I went up to the Riverland and we played against a couple of girls, you know, and they were really good as well. I think the more kids we get in sport, male, female, I think it's better for the country.
Couldn't agree more.
Good on you, Sam. Thanks for that. Let's go to Andrew Bridgewater. G'day, Andrew.
Hi, guys. How are you going?
Good, thanks, Andrew.
Yeah, it's good. I completely disagree with what the article said in the Advertiser. My point of view is the AFL's national competition. It's got a wide following, so if you have female teams come in, professional athletes playing the game, of course they're going to get the publicity.
Mm.
Where you've got other games like hockey and all that, which is a smaller audience,
you're
not going to get the same publicity. I mean, you can't make people watch a game if they're not interested.
What about the comment when the writer says here, for a group of half-baked Aussie female footballers? What's your thoughts on that?
Oh, look, that is, to me, it's just sour grapes. Mm. I mean, I've seen the girls out there, I've seen them play, and they're just as professional as the people who play for other female sports.
That's a very valid point. In the games that I've watched, Andrew, is the fact that they have conducted themselves as they did last night when they were so disciplined, and we'll talk to young Chelsea a little later, Chelsea and Randall, they were so disciplined, and that's a valid point, Andrew. Good point. Absolutely.
Michaela from Mawson Lakes, g'day, how are you?
Good, thank you, Michaela.
Oh, I think that makes me so mad. I'm a 20-year-old young girl from the outback. Ever since I was a little girl, all I wanted to do was play footy. I remember my dad saying to me, you know, oh, it's just for men.
Mm.
And I always thought one day when I grow up, I would love to see a women's AFL league. Just as Andrew and Sam have said, it's our national sport. There's going to be a much bigger audience, and I think it's just fantastic the support we have behind the girls. And I honestly think the publisher of that article really needs to apologise for calling half baked, and it's not overdone at all.
No, good point. Well, there you go. Tell you what, just it's caused a reaction, Andrew.
Hey, you got a prize for Sam, please, Sean?
Absolutely. Women's golf. How about this? The ISPS Handa Women's Australian Open. It's not far away, actually. The 16th and 19th of February, Royal Adelaide Golf Club.
Sensational. That is absolutely
Thank
sensational.
Thank you for that. Let's go to Michael of Harndorf. Hello, Michael.
How you going, boys?
Good, Michael. Is it a half-baked female competition?
I mean, someone can have that opinion if they want, but really that's a load of crap because it was always going to be like that being in its first year. A few ladies weren't going to be as professional.
Yeah.
But when you see how much it means to them, how much they love the game and the desperation, in the fourth quarter, they're all flat.
That's an outstanding... That's the point I made last night to myself. Yeah. I said, Ken, that these girls are lapping this up, they're loving it, and they're having a red-hot dip. I agree.
Yeah, no, look how much it means to someone like Erin Phillips or Sarah Perkins. Just fantastic.
Mm. Well, there's Erin Phillips that's been busting to play AFL football or play football, Aussies footy, since she was a young girl. And look at the way she plays now. I love it.
Good on you, Michael. Thanks for your call. Mark of Meadows. G'day, Mark.
Yeah, g'day, guys. How you going?
Good, thanks, Mark.
Yeah, you know, I sort of agree with the last callers. I think it's a bit of sour grapes. I mean, I think what you've really got to think about is these girls who love the game just as much as we do finally have an outlet to showcase their skills and their passion about the game. And in terms of those other sports, such as the basketball and the soccer, I think if they're worried about the AFL, you know, they've, instead of looking at the AFL, maybe they've got to look within and...
Yeah, you know, I agree.
Their sponsorship.
Outstanding point.
Mm. I totally agree. I think all those organisations will need a massive overhaul and a big review on seeing what they're seeing on a Friday, Saturday and Sunday.
Exactly, what can be done.
Yeah, absolutely. Good on you, Mark. Can I have Daniel of Aberfoyle Park? G'day, Daniel. Agree or disagree with the article?
No, I disagree totally, guys. I think whoever this guy is saying it, I'm assuming it's a guy.
Ricky Drew is his name. Good friend of mine.
Not anymore.
I think he needs to have a good hard look at himself. Like, the AFL has a product that they're trying to make successful, so for him to begrudge the AFL for putting their marketing might behind it is pretty narrow-minded. In terms of the standard of football, it's the first season that these girls are getting in and having professional coaching, and realistically, their wages are still pretty low. So I think in terms of what they're actually receiving and the coaching that they've had exposure to, I think it's good on them. I reckon they're doing really well.
You wouldn't agree with the comment for a group of half-baked Aussie female footballers?
No, not at all. I think they're doing the best that they can. They've only had a certain level of training, and the standard is only going to increase. I think good on them for getting out there and giving it a go and, putting themselves on display for the nation to see. So I'm all for it. I think the way that Perkins moved last night, there were some really good leads into space, so you can already see them developing as the game's progressing. But whoever this guy is, he's making... comments about soccer and whatever else, that's up to their governing bodies to decide what sort of marketing they want to put behind it. So good on the AFL for going with it and putting their might behind it.
Good on you, Daniel.
Well said, Daniel. Let's go to Alan of Hallett Cove. G'day, Alan. How are you, mate?
Yeah, g'day. How are you?
Half-baked or not half-baked?
Well, I don't think they're half-baked. I think they all have a red-hot go. What I'm really... I don't like about it is... all the money that's been thrown into it, and our SANFL competition gets nothing. You know, if you put that side up against, say, SANFL side, they get their ass absolutely kicked. That's the bottom line.
Oh, no question. There's no question about that.
And they're not getting no money.
Well, Alan, I think Alan raises a very interesting point.
Mm.
The AFL have to do more now for the SANFL.
But you know the AFL won't do any more to the SANFL until the SNFL sign up with the AFL body.
Well, Jars,
because the Waffle have, the VFL have, NT have.
What's the average crowd per Saturday?
About 2,500 for Sanford football.
2,500, and I love that.
And what have they changed? What have they changed going into this year, the Sanford comp?
Well, nothing.
What's new? You know, they're trying to fight. They're not doing anything different to attract families to the Sanford, are they really?
Do they need to make
same
it?
Same old, Cage.
Yep. Do they need to make it free?
Absolutely.
Free admission?
I think it's time now. Mm. I think it's time. And they can offset that by their catering and obviously their bar and that type of thing. But it's time. You might as well open the gates up because you might get another 1,000 people going to a Sanford game.
Well, I can see where Alan's coming from. We've got to protect the SANFL.
Yeah, absolutely,
but
you do.
On the same page, don't decry what these young ladies are doing for footy.
I totally agree.
I just love it. Well, Jars, what a cliffhanger we've got at the Adelaide Oval with the Shield game between Victoria and South Australia, the top playing the second side. And South Australian bowlers did the job again, knocking the Vics over for 184. But again, sadly, our batters so far have let us down badly as we welcome a man who hopefully will play a very important role in the first session this morning is young Jake Lehman. He joins us now. Jake, thanks for your time.
No worries, lads. How are you?
Yeah, good thanks, mate. Jake. The pressure's on, Jake. The bowlers again did their job for us yesterday. The batters again, our top order, has let us down. So we've really now got to fight our way out of this, Jake.
Yeah, I guess the bowls are getting rocked after it was 40 degrees yesterday and there was a little bit in the wicket. We won the toss and bowled and, you know, bowling out for 180. Once again, the bowlers are doing their job and I don't think the batters, you know, didn't play extravagantly. I think two blokes got out leaving. So, you know, it's a tough wicket to bat on, but we've got to really dig in and be better than that and get a lead.
Well, just talking about the wicket, that's unusual for the Adelaide Oval to be a tough wicket. Was there a bit more grass on it? Was there some side wave movements in the wicket? What was the situation?
Yeah, you know, Chatty and Richo especially were just getting the ball to stand up nicely off the wicket. And we made it really tough on the batters. There's a lot of gloves being hit and you know, if you put it in a good area, it's very tough to score, which I think both teams have done so far.
Jake, we're currently 5 for 80. You're 25, not out. No doubt Tommy Cooper will come in next because Chatty says made a duck, so he'll have to ring for Duck Club on the rush hour Monday. But the Duke ball. Now, I just got Dale Lewis gave me a great stat yesterday. He said, so far, 54 wickets have been taken in 4 days' play in the last two Shield matches for South Australia because of the new introduction of the Duke ball. How much influence is that having? Because three of our batsmen got bowled yesterday on a good deck.
Yeah, the Duke ball, it's the experiment that they're trying out, I guess, and trying to get us used to it. And, personally, I don't think it's having a massive impact on the game. I just think the wickets at the moment are a little bit greener than usual.
Okay.
You know, I think the Duke ball is swinging around, but it's not doing anything the cooker wouldn't have done on those decks, I don't think.
Jake, so far as the game is concerned, from my point of view, the first hour this morning with you and Tommy Cooper at the crease, hopefully to consolidate, that's a very, very, very important hour this morning, the first hour.
Yeah, I guess we've talked about winning key moments as a side and we won a couple of them yesterday with Chatty taking 2 wickets in an over when they got a partnership going. So this morning, me and Tommy and Kez coming in next really have to get as close as we can to that title and really, I guess, build in the first hour or so and make sure that we can start driving the game again.
Exactly.
Jake, we're playing our arch rival, Victoria, who we dislike immensely. Much lip goes on out there in the middle of the cricket pitch. Who's the best sledger from both sides?
Yeah, there's always a little bit on.
Come on, mate, get into them.
Yeah, I reckon Richo's probably the one for us.
Oh, I love Richo, man.
Has a dip.
Yeah.
I'd say for them it's probably a former South Australian, actually.
I bet it's Dan Christian. I knew it was Dan Christian.
Oh, yeah. What, the one that beats up a change room when he gets out?
That's the bloke. That's the bloke.
He's quite witty, actually. He's made a couple of good ones. The best one I heard him say was when Rossi left to Brisbane Heat and we were playing a Shield game last year, he just slid a $100 bill out on the wicket for Rossi.
Money grabber. Oh, that's a beauty.
it was brilliant.
Brilliant. That's good.
Well, Jake, good luck today, mate. This is a vital one.
There's 100 there for you, Jake.
We should have beat WA last time. We've got to beat the Vix this week. So good luck this morning and all the best, Jake.
Thanks, guys.
Young Jake Lehman, of course, very important hour session this morning, Jazz. I can tell you.
And what's the, just leave the good balls
just
and play the rubbish ones.
Exactly.
Smack the rubbish ones.
Mid off, mid on.
That's play, the key.
Play in the arc.
Play the arc.
Till you get the feel of the wicket and the pace of the ball. And just,
how did you go with the Duke ball in your day as a left-hander?
I never played against the Duke
ball. Why is that?
Well, if I played against the Duke ball, I'd last about
3
balls.
It's a good idea by Cricket Australia to do this?
Well, we've got the Poms coming here this year. So that's the reason.
The Poms are coming here. We're using Kookaburra cricket balls.
It's a good foundation. Make no mistake about that.
I don't like it.
Our special guest was young Jake Lehman. He's in crisis now. You've got a very interesting subject here, Jazz.
Well, I like this system because I believe it keeps the competition alive.
Well, now, what is it?
Gillian McLaughlin.
Who?
Gil McLaughlin. I call him Gillian.
Gillian McLaughlin. It's a girl's name.
He's adamant that he wants to get the 17-5 fixture for 2018.
So that's where every side plays each other once,
absolutely,
right?
KG. Then it's broken into three groups of six for 5 weeks of playoff rounds.
Right.
All right, which I think would be fantastic.
It's a fair
exciting for our competition.
It's a fair economy.
22 rounds. It's an unfair schedule.
Correct.
We've been saying it for years that Collingwood, Essendon, Richmond get all the easy games, all play at MCG.
Yep.
They don't travel.
Correct.
We've all had a gripe about it.
Right.
I think this is a very good system.
So you
and we need to back it in. Give it a go.
Every side plays each other once. Then, as you said, you break
breaks down into three groups.
But what?
There's just a little hiccup.
What's the little hiccup?
With the showdowns here in South Australia.
You'll only
get one a year.
Oh, that's too big a hiccup. Sorry. So, what do you mean?
You'll get one showdown a year.
So we'll lose the showdown. You can stick that up, you jumper.
Oh, hang on. I thought he said off air that he likes the one showdown a year.
I like the two showdowns, thank you.
You like two showdowns?
Yes, thank you. You can stick that right up your jumper.
So you don't support this 17-5 fixture?
Not for one.
There's 22 rounds. The last 8 rounds is boring when sides can't participate in the finals.
So
unfair schedule.
You just want the Adelaide Football Club and Port Adelaide Football Club and our supporters when they're buying their season tickets will only get one showdown.
Yep.
They'll throw their money tickets back out the door.
So next year the Crows have the first day or say Port Adelaide have the first showdown in this new fixture model, then it alternates. The next year, the Crows get a home showdown.
We're only playing one a year.
Yeah, but that's okay.
No, we're playing two. But that's not okay.
Why isn't it?
I want two.
No, I think one's enough.
Oh.
Wait, mate, the build-up, it would be fantastic.
What about the fans that would buy pre-season tickets, which includes two showdowns? That's one of the reasons they buy it. If they only get one showdown,
wouldn't you like to see this fixture? Wouldn't you like to see you play each team once, and then you go into a split up the three groups?
You're never going to have an ultimately fair competition.
The top six or the top eight play each other, the bottom eight, and the next eight.
I can't believe you're saying this.
Six, two,
I can't believe you're saying six.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say.
You want a pen and paper? You're right over there.
So you want the two?
I want the two.
Well
the fans, you're depriving the fans.
I thought he said he wanted to. I've been thinking about this.
KG's prerogative to change his mind.
Exactly right.
but do you agree we need fairness in the draw?
Well, we do, but there's got to be other way. And look, this
well, what's
will
another
get...
solution then?
Well, I don't know.
If you don't go down this path, 17-5 fixture.
I don't know, but
which McLaughlin's keen on.
This won't get through.
Or you just back in the 22 home and away.
Just go with the 22.
The 22
until
home and away.
Until you can come up.
Do you think the season's too long?
No.
You don't think the competition's too long?
No, I don't. We can't believe you only want one bloody showdown. Now, Jars has raised a hot topic this morning, a fair dinkum, whereby that Gillon McLaughlin, who's the CEO of the AFL, is pushing for a revision of the programming for
scheduling.
Scheduling for AFL football, where it's 17-5, whereby each side plays each other once, then you're shoved in the
three groups of six,
and continue playing. That does not guarantee South Australia the chance of having two showdowns per year, which I'm dead set against.
Okay.
Ridiculous.
Alex of Westbourne Park. G'day, Alex. What are your thoughts?
G'day, boys. How are you?
Good, Alex. Thank you.
I actually reckon it's a great idea because that'll happen is Western Australia will only get one showdown. You know, Brisbane, Sydney, the whole lot. There's too many showdowns at the moment. Honestly, you're up to 34. Keep them. So they...
Hottest ticket in town.
Yep, and what they do is, you know how they're having that thing in Melbourne, you get a premium where the games that are worth more?
Yep.
They'll check the price up and people pay and go.
But what about the clubs? They'll lose revenue. What about the supporters?
How will they lose revenue?
How are they going to lose money, KG?
Well, Port's home game, Crows home game. Only Crows will get one year and Port the next year.
Yeah, so KG, you want a national competition. You want a truly national competition.
Yes, I do.
So this is a way of a truly national
competition. But I also want two showdowns.
So what do you want? You want your cake and eat it too, KG?
Well, if possible, yeah.
Well, and if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But there's no guarantee that they won't end up in the same group.
No, but not guaranteed that there'll be definitely two showdowns, as has been the case in the past. That's my beef. And Port will go nuts. They have that bar down there at Memorial Drive, which they utilise to the hilt because of the showdown.
But don't they use that every home game?
Yeah, they do.
Don't rely on that just to have two showdowns.
No, well, I want two showdowns.
It's about the fixture. It's about the fairness of the competition going forward. And you've had a gripe about how all the Victorian teams get the...
A free ride.
They do get a free ride. They rarely travel. Less travel for them. Yet all the other interstate teams have to travel all over the country. 6-day breaks and all that kind of stuff. Well, anyway, Rob from Rob Garbo of Kerry Gully. G'day, Rob.
Yeah, hey guys.
Good. Did I say that right?
Yeah, all good.
Okay.
I didn't know they chucked the Garbo bit in there. Alice must have tacked that on for me. I really like it because other guys stole my thunder about being in the same group. But then there's another thing. Imagine the hype when somebody's just sitting outside the next group and they've got to play their buns off to get up there to play another showdown or be in the chance of another showdown. Mm. I reckon this could just be a great thing for the hype, for the not just our town, but every town where they get that scenario.
Yeah.
I think it's really good. And I think, make the Melbourne teams travel more. Why should they get the easy ride?
Well, I'd like to hear from Port and Crows fans. How do you feel about giving the chance of only having one showdown?
Yeah, but wouldn't
you
love to see the 18 teams play each other once? Wouldn't you just love to see that?
There's got to be a fair way of doing the program.
And then you still get your 22 rounds, and then you go into three groups of six for 5 weeks of playoff rounds.
Always messing around with
this. You know, there's a one in three chance. You'll get a second showdown, KG. Mm. Depends where the two sides finish.
I want to be guaranteed we have two showdowns.
There's no guarantees in this game anymore. Dougie of Blakeview. G'day, Douglas.
Yeah, g'day, guys. I've been a Crows 11-game member for the last 15 years or so, and I think it's a silly idea. I can't see why we need to change everything about the game. I don't know, change the rules, change the fixture, change when the finals played. And not only that, if it's a 17-round set fixture, well, wouldn't half the teams get 8 home games and the other half get 9? So how's that even anyway?
That's a good question.
Yeah. Well, they're things that Gil McLaughlin needs to identify, and obviously before he signs off on it. Mate, this bloke is very, very keen to get this over the line for 2018.
He will not get it anywhere near through.
But Doug, you make a very good point.
He does make some good questions. Yeah.
Orlando of Woodville West. G'day, Orlando.
Good morning, gentlemen. Look, Jazz, I think I've got to go to KG on this one. I'm a power supporter. I want to see Port Adelaide play.
Yep.
I think both supporters of both teams would like to see two showdown, if they're honest. I think it's been that way since year dot, and I'd like to keep it that way myself personally. I think it's a great idea. To change it now, I think you've certainly put a few supporters' nose out of joint. And like KG says, when I buy my season ticket, I buy expecting to see a showdown, my team play in a showdown. So
exactly.
That change now, you'll go, well, hang on, I might not just turn up the next season.
Orlando,
so I think it'll put some people off.
Orlando, what do you pay for your ticket per year?
I paid last year, Zach, it cost me $366 for the year.
Is that for 11 home games?
11 home games, plus my showdown, of course, and that.
You can't rob the patrons.
$366.
Yeah, that's a lot of money,
isn't it?
That's a lot of dollars. So I expect to see my team play, and I think And I dare say this year it's going to cost me more.
Yep.
So I think, you know, it's an expectation from supporters that they want to see their team play in the showdown.
I don't give a stuff. The most important thing in AFL football is looking after the fans, the people that pay $366 a year to go to the footy. And to take a showdown away from would be disastrous. It's a stupid
thank
idea.
You, Orlando. Have a lovely weekend. Damien of Burnside. G'day, Damien.
How you going there, guys?
Damien.
Yeah, good. I was just thinking maybe they could make an extra round and then for the extra round, every rival would play each other again and then they'll do the 5 games after.
Well, I don't know how they're going to do it. It is one of the toughest things, getting the scheduling right and fair. I understand and accept that.
And that's all I want. Well, I'm asking, as a football lover.
Fair call.
A fair program.
But on
for
the same
sides.
Page, I don't want people that'll pay $722
yeah.
for husband and wife to go to the footy
yeah.
to be robbed of a showdown. Look after the fans. Without them, we're stuffed.
Is the AFL looking after the fans, do you think, across the board?
No, I don't think. To a degree, they are.
Right.
But I think they can do better.
Thanks, Damien. Nick of Kapunda. G'day, Nick. Your thoughts on the 17-5 program for 2018 if it gets across the line?
Yeah, if it does get across the line, Jars, one thing I don't think you guys have thought about yet is just, you know, you're talking about there's only going to be one showdown, all right? But if they do end up in the same group, there's another 2 showdowns within 5 weeks.
Yeah, what are the chances of that?
Well, 1 in 3, really, 3 different groups.
Mm. I want a guarantee of 2 showdowns before I buy my season ticket.
Fair enough. Now, on the flip side, all right, one thing that I don't really like the idea about the 17-5 is, you know, the 5 would be at the end of the season when it's wintertime, you know, bloody freezing over here in Adelaide, and a lot of people like to get away for the interstate trips,
mm-hmm.
you know, for example, up to the Gold Coast or Brisbane, somewhere where it's a little bit warmer. Now, how can you book your flight 3 months in advance if you don't know who you're going to be playing?
Yeah, yep. Outstanding point. Yep.
Well, the last 5 weeks played through August.
I mean, it's a good point.
Well, that's not played. August is pretty good.
No, it's
coming under the finals football.
You book your holidays. Leave it is. and you jump off the bandwagon. Like,
no, I don't.
You're calling Gillon McLaughlin's court now.
We need to discuss it because it's on the table.
And the people don't want it.
Yeah, great cause. Great stuff, guys. Yeah. Chelsea Randall coming up soon. Dead Set Legends.
All right, KG, last night the Adelaide Crows girls are 2 from 2, 7-8 defeat of the Western
yes.
Bulldogs, 2-11 in what was a very physical game of football last night at Witten Oval.
Exactly. I thought to myself last night during the game, who's going to be the first lady to throw one here?
Well, our co-captain, Chelsea Randall, a very, very good player, joins us on the Dead Set Legends. Chels, congratulations. The coach and the girls must be pleased knocking off a side that was meant to win the premiership this year in the Women's League.
Yeah, just absolutely just stoked, mate. It's just an awesome, awesome feeling. And look, obviously everyone didn't have any belief in us and except ourselves, and we just really wanted to prove that, and I think our girls just came out firing and put it all together, and we're just really lucky that we came, you know, really grateful and proud that we came away with that win.
Chelsea, look, congratulations with the win, but I thought an important part of our win was the discipline shown by the girls in contrast to the Bulldogs, who gave away some silly free kicks. Our girls, to their credit, just stayed focused on getting the job done. And I thought that was a very important part of our win last night, Chelsea.
Yeah, definitely. We've got an amazing playing group here in our Adelaide Crows girls. They're just awesome and they just really hold themselves really well. And I think we just want to play for each other. It's honestly like a little family. And to represent the Adelaide Crows club as you guys, you know, as Jazz yourself, is just, it's awesome. So,
well done. Yeah, no, we're very proud of you girls. Now, Chelsea, do you think there was too much sniping off the ball? Not so much from our girls. Our girls, like KG said, were outstanding. But the Western Bulldogs, was that their tactic? Because I thought it was poorly coached.
Yeah, good question.
By their respective coach.
Yeah, there was a few kind of hits off the ball, but
it's not a good look, Chelsea.
It was a physical kind of game.
It was,
for sure. So it was, you know, it was a great quality team. You know, in Western Bulldogs, they moved the ball really well, but it was a very physical game. And yeah, our girls, like I said, just held themselves really well against them, and the umpires, you know, did see what they saw,
good.
and was very good.
Chelsea, what about the performance of the first game player, young Jenny McCormick? That goal she snapped in the third quarter was such an important goal, and it proved to me that, you know, as time goes on and experience under belt, she's going to be a very, very important player for us.
Yeah, Macca, yeah, Jenna McCormick, she was awesome. She, you know, debuted in her first game with us as an Adelaide Crows player, and we were obviously, unfortunately, she didn't win in a semi-final with Canberra United last week in the soccer, but, you know, we were just so so grateful to have her back, and, you know, that's just a glimpse of what she can do, and we're really excited to see more of her.
Hey, Chelsea, have you seen today's advertiser in Adelaide?
I haven't, no. Well, you're right. Tell me about it.
Well, there's a big photograph of you hugging three or four players on the back page. It's unbelievable.
I think I got a little bit excited. I have seen the photo that you're talking about. No, I was just so proud of my teammate in Sarah Perkins. And, you know, she's just a jet herself. And I was just so proud of her. So I think I got really excited.
Yeah, you did.
I think my legs were just about up on the shoulder when I jumped onto it.
The coach, Bec Goddard, what was her message after the game? Because, as you know, you don't get much of a turnaround. You've got Carlton this next Sunday at Febby Oval at about 11:30. So what was the message in the change rooms after the great win?
It was just around, you know, that we're really proud and be humble and, you know, take this one. And we've still got another job to do in Carlton next week. So prepare well and recover well and let's get ready.
Gee, I tell you what, Chels, the way the girls pumped that song out, I found myself, buddy, trying to sing the song with
sing
you.
Along?
You didn't stuff it up as usual, did you?
I did. I stuffed it all the time. But it was
good.
It was great fun. Fantastic stuff.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, it's just an awesome feeling and just so proud of our girls. And we hope to see a big crowd come down at Theberton Oval next week when we do take on the quality side in Carlton.
Erin Phillips, no doubt being targeted by most sides. So have you got strategies in place to just give her a bit more protection off the ball and just make sure she's not getting sniped?
Yeah, look, obviously our intent is to protect our teammates and make sure that we're all looked after. So it's not just one person's job on any, you know, opposition player. It's all of us. It's everyone's responsibility. So we make sure that we look after our teammates as well.
I love it. Well, Chels, congratulations. 2 from 2. Carlton next week home here at Theby. I'll be there with bells on. And congratulations to you and the girls.
Chels, are you allowed to have a froth? Are you allowed to have a little wine or a couple of frothies today or no alcohol?
No, mate. I'm straight on the water and hydrating. We're about to jump on a plane. So now we've got some jobs to get done first, guys. So.
Righto. Okay. See, that's discipline.
See, it's a pity you weren't as disciplined as Chelsea.
Oh, we had a couple of frothies. We had a few wins in the early days.
Yeah, snuck a few into the
plane.
Unbeknownst to Graham Corns, the coach, just snuck
them in. Well, we hid him in our bag. Well done, Chelsea.
Well done, Chelsea.
Good on you, fellas. Cheers.
I loved it last night.
Chelsea Randall there, the co-captain of the Adelaide Crows, who had a very good win, 25-point win over the Western Bulldogs at Witten Oval.
A good win.
And
good,
the girls were terrific.
Good crowd too.
Super crowd. 8,000 there on Friday night.
Good crowd.
Free. Oh. But we want a massive crowd there next Sunday. Theby Oval, 11:30, we take on Carl.
Dude, that's a fair start.
Now, good on you. Thanks for the Twitter family and the calls. You, KG, eyeball me before we finish up. I get a bit of information across my desk yesterday.
Yeah.
Adelaide's Independent News. Radio Adelaide to broadcast Friday night AFL game recruits KG Cunningham. What is going on, KG? Phil Smythe and KG Cunningham will be doing a new weekday sports program and a radical programming revamp designed to poach listeners from commercial radio. What are you doing? Are you leaving Triple M?
No, I'm not leaving Triple M. I've had long talks with management.
Our bosses know that you're doing a runner and you're going to poach our listeners.
Not doing a runner. We're not poaching your listeners. We're working in conjunction. I was disgusted
with this article.
We'll cross-promote. We're doing 12 to 1 Monday to Friday.
Who's you and Phil Smythe?
That's it.
For who?
University Radio, 101.5. Has nothing to do, and we're working in conjunction with Triple M.
Robbie Popplestone, who used to work here as a CEO, said Cunningham and Smythe were two of the most respected sports presenters in the state and will be on hand. Oh, I don't know what I'm wearing that rubbish here.
What are you doing?
You're poaching our listeners.
I'm not poaching any listeners.
And it wants you to sound more professional. Well, what's wrong with our programs here? We're not professional for you.
Outstanding.
Were you going to tell me about this news that you're doing a runner? You're nicking off, going to Adelaide University Radio, whatever it's called.
I'm not doing a runner.
So you're doing a sports show Monday to Friday at midday with Phil Smith.
12 to 1, midday, for an hour.
And you're going to poach commercial
listeners?
No,
we're not going to poach anybody.
Is our bosses signed off? Do they know about this?
They do. I've had a long chat with James. Lovely man, James.
All right, mate, if you were to go behind my back and nick off and do another sports show, that's fine. All right. Next Saturday, Sean, it'll be Jars?
Unbelievable.
All right, guys. We've still got about 20 or 30 seconds. Any farewells?
This is it for you, mate. See you later, buddy. This is your last show with me, champ. If you want to do a runner and backdoor us.
Unbelievable.
This is the great man.
Francis Albert Sinatra.
Go on, sing it for us. Go. No,
at least we're giving you a nice, classy exit.
There you go.
Thank you very much, Sean. I'll be back next Saturday. I'll be back next Saturday morning at 8 o'clock looking after you, Jazz. You'll be lost without them.
Which I'm certain.
All right. Thank you. Jazz will definitely be back. KG will be back as well. Dead Set Legends back next Saturday morning, 8 o'clock.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Saturday mornings from 8 for CMI Toyota, South Australia's number one Toyota dealer and the home of the 1 hour express service. Triple M.